Welcome to the Control Risks podcast for RiskMap 2016. In this session, we're going to talk about the implications of downturns in key emerging markets on Africa. I'm Claudine Fry, Associate Director Africa within the Global Risk Analysis Practice at Control Risks. I'm joined by two colleagues, Barney Fletcher, Southern Africa Analyst, and Stephen Kuo, who's based in our Johannesburg office. Barney, the emerging market powerhouses, the so-called BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, have been the primary drivers of economic growth over the past decade, yet their economies are now slowing. Chinese output is expected at around 6.8% this year, after being closer to 10% for much of the last decade, while Brazil and Russia are showing a recession in 2015. How is this impacting on Africa?
Well, despite all the talk of Chinese investment in Africa, foreign direct investment and bilateral aid into Africa is still dominated by the Western world rather than the emerging powers. With the exception of a few countries, so Mozambique with its large Brazilian investment, Indian investment into Mauritius and East Africa, and Chinese investment into countries such as Angola or Zimbabwe, Africa actually has diverse sources of FDI in which the emerging markets still play a relatively small, albeit increasing, role. The continent is not dependent on emerging market money to fund its infrastructure projects or to fuel its economies. Instead, the impact of the emerging market slowdown is hurting Africa due to its impact on global commodity prices. So we have seen the prices of everything from oil to gold fall substantially over the past year, and this is due in part to the weakening demand from China and elsewhere. This has had significant impacts on Africa's economies, which are reliant to a large degree on primary commodities.
Is Africa feeling the pain of lower commodity prices disproportionately?
For all the variation in African economies, the simple fact is that around half the continent's countries are net exporters of primary commodities. So as a whole, Africa is more dependent on these than just about any other region in the world. And this dependency is exacerbated by the fact that many African economies are relatively undiversified. So for economies where primary commodities account for the majority of export revenue, the fall in commodity prices has widened their current account deficits and put huge pressure on their currencies. The Zambian kwacha, for example, fell by over 90% against the US dollar in the 12 months up until about November 2015 before making a partial recovery, while the Mozambican metal fell by close to 60% over the course of 2015. Now, this has a number of implications aside from the obvious budgetary pressures it puts on governments. So a depreciating currency raises the burden of servicing foreign currency denominated debt, which has risen significantly in a number of countries over the past few years. It also leads to inflationary pressure, which appears to be no longer mitigated by low global fuel prices, because many of the African countries we are talking about have limited domestic manufacturing capability. Many consumer products are imported, and these will increase the costs. And this in turn can raise the risk of social unrest.
Stephen, how do you see the downturn affecting Africa?
I think that while these impacts that Barnaby has just mentioned are very real, I would argue that there is a more mixed picture going forward than the uniformly depressing outlook we often hear. The Chinese slowdown is an intentional shift away from infrastructure, and therefore leading to a drop in demand in commodities such as steel and copper, as well as a move away from heavy industries in China, as the Chinese are suffering from pollution problems. So the slowdown in China has indeed affected commodity prices. However, it has also resulted in a great deal of overcapacity in construction and manufacturing in China. As a result, there is now massive overcapacity in infrastructure construction and in manufacturing, and this could be a positive development for Africa in the longer run.
That's interesting, Stephen. Why is that?
Look, African countries have an estimated $900 billion worth of infrastructure shortfall, and without basic infrastructure such as roads, ports, reliable power, clean water, other economic development is impossible. the change in the Chinese economy is to begin to export its infrastructure capacity and to better use its capital. So this overcapacity in China can actually dovetail very well with the shortage in Africa. Now, more fundamentally, the state of affairs could prompt a shift in the nature of China-Africa relationship. While China is Africa's largest bilateral trading partner, buying raw materials and exporting manufactured goods, China is actually not Africa's largest source investment. At the end of 2013, China had only $26 billion of foreign direct investment in Africa, making it only the seventh largest provider of foreign direct investment. Yet, this trade-heavy investment-light relationship is likely to shift to one led by infrastructure construction. And China has actually already begun to set up the facilities for it to become, if you like, the engine of infrastructure-led investment in Africa. For example, the Forum on China-Africa Cooperation, FOCAC, has just taken place here in Johannesburg, co-hosted by President Zuma of South Africa and President Xi Jinping. And in the run-up to this FOCAC summit, over $50 billion in infrastructure investments in various programs to revitalize Africa's industrialization was announced. The new development bank, the new development bank that is set up together by the five BRICS countries, have its headquarters in Shanghai and its regional office here in Johannesburg, with the stated aim of facilitating infrastructure construction.
Very interesting. Thank you very much, Barney and Stephen. Clearly, it's a more mixed picture for Africa than the downturn and the news around the downturn in China sometimes suggests. Thank you very much for listening to this RiskMap podcast.